Blessed with these facilities here. But you know what makes the church special? It's not the building, it's you guys. You know, it's the people that are here. And what's frustrating, and this morning's message is going to be on self-esteem. Anybody have self-esteem issues besides me? You know that self-esteem, and it's like you had a great series of messages planned. We're doing this series on healing for damaged emotions, and we got this great series planned. And we start out, we have like 103, 105, and then it rains, and we get 70. What happened? You know, that really does your self-esteem well, right? You know, it's just like, oh, come on. You know, how do we deal with those things? How does life? So if you're just joining us, we began this series several weeks ago, and we're reading our Bibles, but we're also reading a book called Healing for Damaged Emotions. And we've decided that we're going to attack the stigma of mental health. So you know, the church is just kind of, you know, we pray for physical things, broken legs, surgery, health issues. We pray for those things, and we should. God calls us to. God's a God of miracles. He heals cancer, all those things. You know, we pray for spiritual salvation. You know, we got a family that's not lost, or a sister, you know, extended family, a friend that doesn't know Jesus. And we'll pray for salvation for someone. But how often do we pray for those mental struggles that we go through? Those emotional battles, that mental health. And so there's been this stigma on mental health out there. And so several weeks ago, we decided we're just going to attack that. We're going to come at that. And so we've been looking at various things through this series and how it comes about. And this morning, I want to talk about self-esteem. Feel about ourselves, the value we have in ourselves and the beliefs in our worth. How does that play out? And we base this on a scripture that I memorized a long time ago, at least the last part of it. But I want us to read it again. If you have your little outline, I'm going to encourage you to get it out. It'll come up on the screen in just a minute. But I want us to see this scripture right here. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And my whole premise of this series of messages is this. This abundancy is not just talking about money and possessions. You know, it's talking about, I throw these three words out, and we've been concentrating on these three words, love, joy, and peace. That's the first part of the fruit of the Spirit. That God wants us to have a sense of belonging. We are loved by God, and we are to love others, and others love us. And there's a joy that comes with that relationship with God. And we want a happiness in life and peace in life. And sometimes we don't understand it. And so we've been concentrating on these three things. Love, that belonging, and that joy and a peace that God wants us to have. That's an abundant life. You can have everything else, but if you don't have that, you don't have anything. And so we've been contrary. And this morning, I want to think about that self-esteem. As I was reading on, I read this one author, Miltz, I think his name was. He says 95% of people suffer with some kind of insignificant feelings. That we struggle with these feelings of insignificant. Does my life matter? How do I fit in? And maybe you have phrases like this. I wrote a bunch of these things down. Have you ever said anything like this? I'm so fat. I'm so stupid. I'm so useless. I hate my body. I am such a failure. I'm so ugly. I can't do anything right. Anybody? Anybody? How about this one? I don't think so-and-so likes me. They didn't say like on my last Facebook. Yeah. I made that phone call and I text them and it's been 3 minutes and they haven't responded. Do we ever get these feelings? Do we ever wrestle with these feelings? You know, how do we deal with this self-esteem and this feeling about ourselves? You know, and as I do in my research, I think we all suffer from it in some form. It was real interesting to do the research. I got a couple of teenage daughters, granddaughters, and as I thought about that, you know, they're the ones that suffer. The statistics are unbelievable for teenage girls. It's just unbelievable to see the statistics for them. And all that. But we all struggle with this. I have this thing here. Sometimes when I preach, I feel I stunk, okay? And, some of you preach, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you got this great vision in your mind. You got this great outline in your mind. Deliver this thing, and all of a sudden it just went, boom. And it just fell. And one time in the Old Blue Church, I got done preaching, and I went down, and I sat down in the pew right here. They were singing, and Linda Perry was sitting right there. She's going to make the announcements. And I look at Linda, and I go, Linda, Make it quick. That stunk, and I want to get out of here. Yeah. You know, we ever feel like that, you know, and then I sometimes I'll tell some of the leaders, I get done preaching here some Sundays, and it's like, man, that stunk. And they'll go, oh, no, it was good, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I started thinking like this. Did I say it stunk because I wanted somebody to affirm me? Do you know what I'm saying? Was I trying to pry some affirmation? I don't think so. But I tell you what, I do like to say I preach well. You can always write that on your blue card. That's fine with me. You know, how do we wrestle with these feelings in our, how do we wrestle with this? And so I gave you a definition here. You know, the basics, just your values and worth, but I like this right here. Your overall beliefs about yourself, which may include your beliefs about your appearance, your possessions, your behavior, your relationships, your experiences. It's what you believe about yourself. You know, that appearance. You know, I go back to just, it's hard to imagine, I, as you see me today, to that teenage kids, 15, 16, you know, buck tooth, nerdy. That was me, you know. I was the nerdy kid, you know, not smart, not a football player. What could I do well? You know what I could do well? Nothing. You know, I was just, and I go back to all that. You know, what was my appearance? And you wrestle with those things, you know. And then as you grow up, you still wrestle with those things. And how do we deal with those? Because if you don't deal with it, you're going to have feelings of inferiority. You're going to get feelings of insignificance. You're going to get feelings of anger because it's not fair. You know, it's not fair that some people can play a guitar and sing and I can't even carry a tune in a bucket. You know, it's not fair. You know, and you can get angry and you can get jealous. You can get jealous of some of those. You can start feeling guilty because of some of the stuff. And if we don't deal with this feeling of who we are and we don't wrestle with who we are and understand that. So I want to dwell on this morning. I want you to think about back to a biblical event. I always have a hard time calling them stories in the Bible because they're not just stories. They are recorded events in the Scripture, all right? This really, really happened. Have you seen the movie Ten Commandments? Anybody see the movie Ten Commandments? Charles Heston, come on. Some of you guys ever see that movie? Just so you know, that really happened. Not with Charles Heston, but it really did happen. Israel gets taken into bondage, 400 years in bondage in Egypt, 400 years as slaves. God steps into the midst of that through Joseph, and he intercedes, and then Moses comes along. And Moses comes along, and we know the 10 plagues, right? Anybody remember the 10 plagues? You know, and God steps into the midst, and the 10 plagues, and Israel's free to leave. Get out of here. We're done. Get going. We're through. And Pharaoh sends them on their way and then changes his mind and God splits the Red Sea. Anybody recognize the story? You know? Well, from the Red Sea, we go from the Red Sea to wandering in 40 years. You miss an event. There's a real significant event from that Red Sea. You know, we watch them through the 10 plagues and we reach the Red Sea. And then all we go from there, we jump right to the 40 years of wilderness. But that didn't happen that way. There's a little event that happened at Kadesh Barnea. 6 months after leaving Egypt, 6 months after leaving that slavery, 6 months after seeing God in the 10 plagues, 6 months after seeing God split the Red Sea, they come to a town on the verge and the edge of the promised land, just as God promised, and it's theirs. It's there. Take it. But you know what they do? They send out 12 guys. They sent out these 12 spies. And these spies go into the land and they check the land out and they come back. And here's how the report starts. They told Moses, we went to the land where you sent us. And it is fertile land. It's just like you said. Man, it is fertile land. It is great land. Here is some fruit. And they brought back all sorts. You understand some of the reading I've done. You're talking about 35-pound melons, 100-pound grapes. I mean, you know, they brought back this fertile land. But always gets you in trouble. But the people who live there are strong. Their cities are walled and very large. We even saw some Anakites there. Those guys, you know, the ones we were worried about the most. They start looking around. And they start seeing all the problems. All the issues. Now, there's two guys, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb, they come up and they go, wait a minute. We can do this. We can take this. It's ours. And they start arguing to take it. But here it goes again. But the men who had gone with them said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And those men gave the Israelites bad report about the land they explored, saying, the land that we explored is too large. All the people we saw are very tall. We saw Nephilim, people there. The Anakites come from the Nephilite people. We felt like grasshoppers. And we look like grasshoppers to them. You think they had a self-esteem problem? You know, do you think that they had something going on inside them, that there was some inferiority and some insignificance? You know, maybe 400 years of slavery had kind of bondage. Not only did they have the slavery of bondage, but they had a mental slavery now. Do you get the picture? Do we ever have those kind of feelings about ourselves? You know, we look at what's there before us, and we look at the opportunities, and we look at the situations, and it's like, I can't do that. What was I thinking? What's my boss thinking? What's my spouse? She wants me to do what? You know, and we have these, how do we deal with these feelings? What do we do? Do you ever just feel like there's doubt? There's questions? There's insecurity? We're just grasshoppers. They're large. The cities are big. It's a big land. You ever have God ask you to do something that is like, how am I going to do this? See, I remember when God called me to be a pastor. 19 years old. Church 2 years. Been saved 2 years. I have no idea. I'm going to tell you something else. If I knew what I was getting into when I said yes, I might have said no, okay? Some of you preachers know what I'm talking about, you know? It's just like, what in the world, you know? But I'm going to tell you what. I can remember when I was getting ready to leave for college, I came forward, and we used to call the front an altar, and I would kneel in the front pew, or I'd kneel at the steps, and I'd pray, because I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I hated to get in front of people. You know, I was a shy kid. You know, who's going to, all these insignificance, inferior. I'm not a smart guy. I barely got out of high school. I told you, I was 2.5 units short, and I got 2.5 units for sitting in the counselor's office the last 2 weeks of school, because I cut English too much, because I enjoyed fishing in the Sacramento River. Yeah. But God changed all that. See, here's the challenge for us. We get our self-image from the wrong thing. We get ours from the wrong source. Because if we don't do it right, we end up like them. Here's four things real quick that happen if you don't watch where you get your self-image. And you see this in Israel right here. Low self-esteem paralyzes your potential. You do not realize what you can do if you live on who you are. That sound confusing? We don't know how much potential you have. If I would have listed people when I was school and when I was doing this, you can't. Like I said, I found my report cards from like kindergarten, first, second, up through sixth grade. I got my report cards. My mom passed away. I got a boxes of all sorts of stuff my mom kept. You can't believe what the teachers wrote about me. You know, they were true, but I can't, you know. Well, you're never going to get, anybody ever been told that? You're not going to amount to anything. You're just so stupid. Those things hinder our potential. I'm sitting here today after barely graduating high school to somebody with a doctorate. And it's not because I'm smart, because I'm not. Because of what God did. You don't know your potential. Israel, could Israel take the promised land? Let me ask you a little question. 6 months after leaving Egypt, could Israel have taken the promised land? What do you guys think? Anybody got an answer? Say yes with me. Come on, say yes. All right, they could take the promised land. They could have. But they didn't. They missed the potential they had because they felt insignificant. Inferior. We're grasshoppers. They're big people. The walls are thick. 35-foot walls. Yeah, they are thick. Yeah. But we lose that potential. How about this lesson? Low self-esteem destroys your dreams. It destroys us. I always had this, and I always told my kids, you can be and do anything you want. Now, reality tells me, no, you can't. If you can be and do anything you want, why can't I sing? You know, you can't, all right? But I'm not going to tell my kids that. You know, you can be and do any, you can dream, dream. Dream dreams. I've gone far above what I ever dreamed I could be. I can't believe the opportunities and what God has done and what God has allowed and, you know, dreams. And, you know, when we feel that fear of failure and we feel that what others say, it can destroy our dreams, can't it? You know? But God, how about this next one? Low self-esteem ruins your relationships. If you can't love yourself, you're not going to love anybody else. And it's hard to love God when God made you and you don't even like who you are. How do we wrestle with this? And the last one I put down here is low self-esteem sabotages your ministry. Those things and those opportunities you have. I was just joking, or we were talking in the prayer room. You know, I'm going to come up here, and I told him, I'm going to come up here this morning, and I guarantee you one thing. I will mess something up. Yeah. I know before I even got up here that somewhere along the line my tongue will slip, something will happen, and it will not come out the way I wanted it to. But you know what? I came out here. And I'm going to let it fly. So whatever comes out of my mouth, tough luck. Yeah. But we don't know. You know, you go for those things. You gotta go into that. See, what you think about yourself, how you feel about yourself, dictates who you are. I see this phrase as I was working on the message all the time. If you think you can't, you can't. Anybody ever seen that phrase? If you think you can't, you can't. I still remember one of the times when I started working on my doctorate. I got the privilege of going and getting my doctorate. First class, we're sitting around the table, and I'm sitting there stressed out. First, I didn't know I was going to get back into the program or not, because you had to have certain grades and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and took all sorts of tests and did all sorts of stuff. So I finally get in, and it's like, okay, now I got to get through this. Yeah. And then the teacher goes like this. The facilitator goes, here's your grades. Pass, do over. I got this. Because here's the one thing I know. I'll do it over till I get it right. Yeah. You know, I can't do that, but I can keep doing it and doing it and doing it until I get it right. See, what we think about ourselves dictates us. Look again at what it says here in the scriptures. Proverbs 4:23. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. What do you think? Isn't that true? And it does. It dictates our life. Now, I want to make sure you get a picture here. Your self-esteem and these feelings that we're talking about, there's like four sources. It's like the background of those. It comes from how you were raised. Part of it is your past. Your parents have a tremendous influence on this. You know, I told you a lot of the negative things about my growing up, you know, the physical abuse, the beatings and the welts. You know, I had all that. But you know what? There was a lot of positive stuff going on in my past. A lot of good stuff going on. We had all sorts of tools. And one time, anybody seen the movie, anybody see the cartoon Flintstones? Anybody remember seeing the Flintstones? Anybody? Remember the Flintstone mobile? Anybody see the Flintstone mobile? We had two big old logs in our backyard one time. We had a bunch of logs. But I took two logs, and my brothers and I and the neighbors next door, and we built a Flintstone mobile. And we'd push each other up and down the street. You know, and it had knots in it. You're sitting there going, yeah, because the knots in the wood, you know? But we could do... We could, you know, like I said, I had the strictness over here, but just whatever. I had a lot of positive past. Yeah, there's some negative, but, you know, that past kind of, you know, I never remember my dad saying, oh, you're stupid. Now, I do remember having, you know, let me tell you something. When somebody's on a ladder and they're like 20 feet in the air, you have to throw the tool up the right way. And it's got to be the right tool. If you ask for a 7/16 wrench, do not throw a half inch, because it's going to come back at you. Not to you, at you. But you got to throw it up right. See, what you got to do, don't throw it to them. Here's the he. If you're ever working with somebody on a ladder way up there, you throw it past them so they can stick their hand out and it falls. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff. Yeah. Now, I don't mind climbing ladders. I don't mind. You know, it's just. But see, that past kind of makes who you are. I don't remember ever being told I'm stupid. I had to learn a lot of things. But I remember my dad saying, oh, you're stupid. Or my mom saying, oh, you just can't do anything. But some have, and I feel bad for those who've had those experiences. But also we have that makes our personalities, not only our past, maybe our some friends, family, situations, it still influences us. But also there's some psychological things, some of those brain chemistry things. You know, we're born with a temperament. Anybody ever know that? You're born with a temperament? You know, you're born with a certain personality. You know, and that influences your self-esteem. That influences your who you are and how you see yourself in that personality issues. And so that helps make you who you are. Just saying, we're going to get to what's interesting. That if you're reading the book, there's three chapters on self-esteem. Tells you how important it is. There's three chapters. Depression has two. Because depression, a lot of it comes from self-esteem issues. You know, it only has two chapters on that in that book if you're reading along. But that's psychological stuff. But then I'm going to tell you something else. Satan. Satan impacts your self-esteem. Satan comes at you through that self-esteem and that self-worth and that value. And then, of course, if Satan's going to come at you, guess what? They got to have the other side. You got to have God. So here's what I wanted to share. I wanted to share this. I want you to know these things. I want to settle on these things. So here's the first thing. You're going to build a solid self-esteem. You got to take your past. You got to take the psychological. You got to take Satan into account. But you need to base it on God. Okay? I cannot tell you how much as I sit back and look at my life. And I've tried to figure this out. Because you need to know, I feel good about myself. I asked some lady one time in our church, does she think I have an ego? And she goes, yes. And I'm going, oh boy, I got trouble. I stroke my ego all the time. Now, do I make mistakes? Some of you have been with me for 33 years. You know I've messed up a few times. Some of you were with me yesterday, and you've seen it yesterday. You know? I'm not perfect, but you know what? I'm okay. I'm an okay guy. You know, I'm not the handsomest guy. You know, I'm not a Billy Graham or Jerry Falwell or one of these great preachers, but you know what? I'm okay. You know? You go to the dentist office, and I'm 60 years old. He wants to put braces on? I'm 60. Why would I want braces? You know, it's too far past my handsome looks. You know? But we worry about these things. We wrestle with these things. And so here's what I've decided in my life. I can't figure this out. I'm going to be honest with you. I cannot figure this out. That transition that happened when I was 16 years old is so significant. You know what that issue was? I accepted Jesus Christ. That changed everything. That just changed everything. God made a difference in my I make a fool out of myself for Jesus now, and I'll do it. You know? I'm not the smartest. I'm not the best looking. I can't do anything, but I can't do anything well, okay? You know? But you know what? God. See, I looked at that story we started with Israel at the Kadesh Barnea, 6 months, 6 months on the verge of the promised land, and they said no. So for 40 years, they're wandering. And I believe there's some of you. You haven't said yes to God, or you haven't said yes to God's image of you, that you're wandering right now in some issues. I can't. Every time I try, it never works out. Anybody ever? And we're wandering. But here's what I want you to know. Here's these five things. I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got five. Look at what it says here. God created me in his image as a unique person. I am created by God in his image. I'm made in Him. My value and my worth is not on who I am. My value and my worth is on who God is, because I'm made in His image. I always like joking about this. You can go over and look at the schools. We used to meet at the middle school, and if you walk in, there's a plaque there on the wall in front of the middle school, and on that bronze plaque, there's a name. I like it. Don't you like that? Doctor. Dr. Gary Dew at the school board. You know what's humbling? Go over there and grab one of those kids and say, look at those names. You know anybody there? They're going to go, I don't even know who they are. What is a school board anyway? You know, what really meant? You see what I'm saying? Let's put things in perspective here. But I'm going to tell you what. My name is written somewhere called the Book of Life. Different because of God. I'm an okay guy. You know, I'm okay. Yeah, you know, I've been going through some old pictures. I got gray hair now. I'm not that 135-pound kid. I'm not even 165 I weighed when I came here. So here's my thought. I was 165 pounds, and I had black hair when I came here. I don't know what I weigh now. And I got gray hair now, so it's your fault. You know? Yeah, at least I got hair. You know? But it's not based on that. I am created in the image of God. You are created in the image of God. Look at what it says. So God created man in His own image, the image of God. He created him. Male and female, He created them. Didn't you like me read that fast? We're created by God. There is nobody who is born by accident. Your parents may have not been you, but God sure did. It's a hand of God. We are created by God. You need to see that. Whoever you are, whatever you have. Created by God. The second one I put down here is God loves me. Now here's what I did here. I want to make sure you notice something. You notice I put me in there? Matter of fact, here's what we're going to do. I want us to say these, because I put me, that personal pronoun, because I want you to read these for you. All right? I could have put created in the image of God, Gary is. But I put me. So here's what I want to do this morning. Well, I want you to say with me, God created me. You hear me? I want you guys to say that. You guys, listen. I want you to repeat, God created me. You ready? 1, 2, 3. God created me. You guys, that's kind of weak. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Then say it like you believe it. Ready? 2, 3. God created me. You are created by God. Now say, God loves me. You ready? 1, 2, 3. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I can't be better or worse. God loves me. God didn't sit there and say in heaven, you know what? I'm going to create Gary. And we'll get him started. And we'll start out in the state of Washington, up there in Tacoma, Washington. Then we'll move him to Sacramento. And then we'll do, I'll wait till he's 60 to decide if I love him or not and see how he's did with his life. You think God did that? From the moment I was born, God loved me. God loved you. From the moment you were born. Let me make this even more, okay? Kind of rattle your cage a little bit. God loved you from the moment you were conceived. The twinkling in the eye. God loved. See, we need to understand that. It's not based on, well, I did good with my life. I've done this. I went to college and I did and I've done. It doesn't matter. You don't earn God's love. It is a gift that God gives you. And you're loved by God. Look at the passage. I could have chosen another one. There's a great passage, Romans chapter 8, I think it's 38 and 39. Write that down, Romans 8, 38 and 39. Might be one you want to go home and read. It goes along, nothing can separate us from the love of God, okay? So you might want to go home and read that one. But I chose this one for a particular reason. Look at what it says. The Lord appeared to me in a far away place. Here's what I think God's saying here. Here's what I think He's writing here. When I was down, when I felt like I wasn't loved, when I felt like I was being rejected, when I felt like I was low self-esteem, no good, I didn't matter, when I was low, when I was in a faraway place, and He said, I love you with everlasting love. So I will continue to show my kindness. When you're even at your lowest, I want to tell you something. God loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you did yesterday, no matter what you did last night, God loves you. Did that play out okay? How about this next one here? God planned for me. And guess what? You're going to say that with me again, all right? You guys ready? 1, 2, 3. God planned for me. You were planned by God. God had a plan. God knew from the creation of the world that in 1954, on November 25th, I'm going to bless the world with Gary. And we're going to call that day Thanksgiving. I was born on a day that's named Thanksgiving. They named it for me. Literally, 1954, Thursday, November 25th, was Thanksgiving. I was planned. In God's mind, from the Creator, God knew that November 25th, 1954, I was going to be born. What's your day? You were planned. God had a design. He has something for you. Look at what it says here in Psalms. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. See, God had a plan. There's a plan. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder about that plan. Anybody ever wonder about God's plan? You mean it's like, God, what are you doing? Matter of fact, sometimes it's, God, where are you? You know? But God has a plan. God has a plan, and he's given that. How about this next one? God gifted me. I want you to say it. You guys ready? 1, 2, 3. God gifted me. We are gifted by God. We are designed by God. No, I cannot sing. I can't play the guitar. I can't do that. God didn't give me that gift. All right. Some of you wonder if I even got the gift of preaching, right? You're sitting there going, I don't know. You know? But we're all gifted. We all have special abilities. Like I said, I can do just about anything. I helped build the church. I've done this. I've done that, you know. But you give me a skill saw and tell me to cut a straight line, you're in trouble. Not me, because you told me to cut it. I know I ain't going to do it. Remember, you can't. If you know you can't, you can't. Well, that's kind of self-fulfilling prophecy there. I take that saw, man, no matter what, go straight. It has a mind of its own. But then I got others, you know, Mark Simpson put some lights and did, and Dan and all those guys. These guys, nice straight cut every time. We have different skills and abilities. And see, God given us those abilities. Look at what it says here. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We have different ability. You're gifted. There's certain things you can do that others can't. Give me a computer and I can have a fun on a computer. You know, put a hammer and nail in my hand, I'm going to bend every other nail. You know? We have different skills and different abilities. We do different things differently. And I'm glad. You know, how could somebody like working on motors and getting all greasy? I don't get that. You know, I watch some of these car shows, counting cars and all that, you know, and it's, there's no way it's underneath your fingernails and, but give me a computer, nice and clean. You got to keep those things, you know. We're all different personality. God's gifted us and we're different. Got to appreciate what we got. How about this last one? Probably the most important. God's son died for me. I want you guys to say that. I want to hear this one really loud because this is really, really significant. 1, 2, 3. God's son died for me. Jesus died for you. And I'm going to tell you something. God wouldn't let his son die for nobody. He let him die for somebody. And where every one of us is a somebody. Every one of us matter. See, God gave his son that supreme sacrifice for us. And see, that's, as I look at my life, and, you know, some of you, I have known my journey. You know, my brother at 39 commits suicide. You know, my other brother at 59 passes away. I think it's abuse of alcohol and everything else. And they were all, both of them functioning people in society. Seriously, had good jobs, homes. They were just normal, everyday people. But the difference is, at 17, God made a difference in my life. See, I look at my life and I just come back to that point, that turning point. that point when I'm sitting at my aunt and uncle's dining room and my cousin Linda opens this little book called Four Spiritual Laws, and she shares with me this message that I had seen lived out in these youth. We're washing cars, earning money to go to a church camp. And so I said, got involved. That's how I got involved. Before that, Christians were the nerds. They were the weirdos. They didn't know how to talk right. They couldn't use the words I used. They didn't even know how to use them well. But at 17, my cousin shared it. And it boiled down to that statement I tell you week after week, God, I'm tired of doing something my way. I want to do things your way. Come into my heart and take control. And from that point on, God has changed me. And here's the good news. He ain't done yet. And I'm sure thankful for that. And it made a difference. See, who I am comes from God, not me. It doesn't come from having my name on some plaque at some school. It doesn't come. I remember when I got my doctorate. We're getting our doctorates. We're going to go across the stage. And one of my fellow doctorate students, there was three of us that graduated at the same time. He already had his checks made out that said Dr. So-and-so. Now, just so you know, my wife has doctor on one of our credit cards. She likes to play that card and we go get reservations. Dr. So-and-so would like to get some reservations. Yeah. Laura put it on one of my credit cards. Because I'm going to tell you, it doesn't mean anything. My name in the book of life says Gary Lynn Du. That's all it says. If it doesn't say doctor, you know, it's not my accomplishments. I am who I am because of God. I want you guys to feel that. I want you guys to know that. You are who you are because of God. Not because of what your past has programmed you. Not because of your temperament that has designed you. Not because of what Satan is doing to call you down and to destroy you. But because of God. This is who I am. I'm created by God. I'm loved by God. I'm planned by God. I'm gifted by God. Jesus died for me. I am God. I'm good. It goes back to the creation story. Anybody remember the creation story? God created all this stuff. Comes down to creating man. The last thing he created. And what did he say? And it was good. We're good. See, we need to see that. But here's my challenge. How do I move? Because how do we move from knowing to believing and living it? Do you know what I'm saying? How do we move from knowing? Have you ever told somebody, I know, and yet you still go out and do what you know you shouldn't do? Anybody ever do something like that? I know, but I'm over here. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you some things real quick this morning. Because I want to move from knowing it to where you feel it because of your actions. If you want to feel it, you got to do something. You hear me? If you want to feel the presence of God, if you want to see the hand of God, if you want to know you are created by God and loved by God and gifted by God and planned by God, and that you need to do some actions, okay? That's how you move from feeling, how you move from knowing to feeling. Making sense? Am I communicating clearly? Because I want you to say, well, I know. You can go home saying, I know everything Gary said this morning. I knew I was created by God. I knew I was loved by God. I know. And yet I still hate myself. I still look in the mirror and go, man, I'm ugly. I still go to work and I feel like I'm a failure. I can feel the same way. 33 years at a church, and we got, 70 people this morning? I should do better than that. I'm a failure. My guy that was a year ahead of me in college, a guy that I knew, I sat at his mom and dad's dining room table. His name is Rick Warren. He was a year ahead of me in college. He'll have 20,000 people in the weekend services. Oh, man, poor me. Anybody ever feel like that? Yeah. But you know what? This is what God called me to do. Just to be honest with you, I wouldn't want to deal with 20,000 people. You know, it's hard enough pastoring 70 to 80 people, all right? Yeah. But see, God. So let me give you some things I want you to do. But here, I'm going to lay a foundation for it, okay? Here's a scripture. Everyone then who hears these words of mine. Now this is me, okay? You're hearing my words, all right? Everyone of you who hears these words of mine does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell. Did it rain this morning? Yeah, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell. And a great was its fall. I want to ask you, what are you building your self-worth on? What are you building the value of yourself? Is it on your appearances? You know, is it on your accumulation of stuff? Is it on your past? Is it just, well, this is just the way I am? The rock is none other than Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you to build your life on Jesus. You're created in His image. He loves you and He died for you. You were planned and gifted by God. That's what I want. But how do you get there? So I got four things. I think there's four. One, two, three. I do. Four things to help you. So action, all right? This is action. You need to volunteer. You need to find a place and plug in and volunteer. Find some place to serve, some place to minister. This week I went over to the food bank here in Salida and talked with some of them. Two of our ladies used to go over there all the time. One's still going over there. Karen was over there working at the food bank. And we're wrestling because two of the other pastors moved on in our town. And now I got to get my hands around the food bank and the Christmas program and all sorts of stuff. Because I'm the only one left now, the three of us that really did everything. Food bank. Yeah. Love Salida. That's going to come around again. Volunteer at the Love Salida. You want to really be blessed? How about this one? I'm going to tell you something. I am making an impact. I am making an impact that's going to be felt until 2020, until 2200. I am. Because you know what? I am helping kindergarten, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds memorize God's word on Thursday night in Awana. And these little kids who are 5 right now in 2200 will be in their 70s and 80s. And guess what? I planted seeds in their heart with the words they memorize. You want to make a difference? You want your life to mean something? I was thinking about that the last night. My grandson's in there and some of your kids are in there, and Lisa and I are in there with those kids. Go in there and ask these kids. Ask little Richard who runs around here to quote John 3:16. You know, ask my little grandson. Ask some of these other kids to 1 John 4:14. I can't get it. I'm trying to remember. Give me the first word. For the Lord sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Is that? No, that's a different one. I see, they're better than me. But see, I'm going to tell you, volunteer to work in the nursery. Volunteer to work in children's church. Because you're going to have an impact, not just today, not just tomorrow. I'm planting seeds in these little kids' heart that's going to be felt until 22. Is that how we'd say it? 2200? I don't know, 22K? I don't know how they're going to say it by then. You know? Volunteer, get involved, do something. You know, go to the gospel mission. Volunteer. You will build your self-esteem. God gifted you and God planned you and God loves you and He wants to show it. How about this next one? Reject negative thinking. Oh, let me read a scripture here. I'm sorry. Give and you receive. Your gift will return to you full, pressing together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Give yourself away. You know, just so you know, I am gone Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, involved in something. And I'll tell you, one of the funnest times is, I'm going to be honest with you, Awana is a blast. They call me Gary the Great. No, they don't. They call me Gary the Grape. Yeah. But seeing these kids, find a place to give yourself away. It will make you feel better. It will build your self-esteem. Next one, reject negative thinking. Look at what it says. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Oh, poor me. I'm just them. Life's not fair. They're always picking on me. Anybody? Think positive. Don't you like that one? Think positive. I watch golfers. I've tried golfing too, so I can't play golf either, all right? You know, I learned I am a control freak, but I'm not a minute control. You know, an eighth of an inch on the grip or your feet just different by a half inch? You're screwed, man. It's over. It's a banana hook. Yeah, slice or whatever they call that thing. Yeah. But those guys visualize. They get up there and they just kind of, okay, all right. Get it. Boom, and hit it right onto the, you know, it's like, give me a break. But think positive. Fill your mind with positive things. Fill your ideas. I watch, just so you know, I hardly watch any movies besides Disney. And I'm a big kid. All right? My favorite, my number one show. Somebody bought me a picture with that. It's called Pollyanna. Some of you guys have no idea what that movie is. Pollyanna is a movie, the girl, everything's happy. You'll find what you look for in somebody's life is kind of the theme of the show. Comes into a town that's everybody's horrible and miserable, and she changes it to the happy place. I watch happy. My second favorite movie, Mary Poppins. Come on, anybody? You know, her and I are a team of two, perfect people. You know, but what do you fill your mind with? You know, what are you programming yourself? I just can't do anything right. I'll never amount to any. Change the program. Change the script. Fill your mind with positive, uplifting things. Good Christian music makes a difference. You know? There's nothing wrong with my wife and we like classic rock too. But what are you probing into your mind? Think positive. How about this next one? Forgive yourself. That's a hard one. Let me say it this way. If God's forgiven you, what business do you have in not forgiving yourself? God's forgiven you. Get over it. Forgive yourself. I have made enough mistakes in my life. In fact, I probably, as some of you might say, I probably made enough for two lives. Anybody on that one? I made enough mistakes for two lives. But you know what? God forgave me. And he's going to forgive me. And we need to see that. We need to accept that godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See, find that forgiveness. Just forgive yourself. I don't care what it is. Well, you don't know what I did. I don't care what you did last night. I know what God did for you when he died on the cross is what I know. Anybody? Just take that. Take the blood of Jesus Christ. You're free. How about the last one here? Choose your friends carefully. Watch out who you hang with. You know, if you hang around with a bunch of critical people, guess what? You're going to become critical. You know, a bunch of negative, you know, there are some negative people out there. You know? Oh, it's raining. I'm going to tell you, it's raining and I'm excited. You know? Water. My grass is going to turn green again. You know? It's a good time. You know, find those. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as, in fact, you're already doing. Find those. Don't, you know, we need to minister to those who are critical. You need to know that. We need to serve, but don't listen to them. Those downers, you know, those down and taker downers. You know, we need to minister to them, but don't let them take you down. You need to find that. You need to do it. So I just want to wrap up with this. The image you have of yourself is not your past. It's not your psychological makeup. Now, they influence it. They have an impact on it. And it's not even Satan who wants to just destroy you. But your worth and your value is found in God. And a God who loves you and who created you, who planned for you and gifted you and sent his son to die for you. Now, you know that, but I challenge you to move beyond knowing and do something that strengthens it for you, that puts in it for you, that says, I know. I feel good about myself. Now, I'm going to tell you why. I don't know. I don't know why. I cannot explain why. But I can know this. At 17, I accepted Jesus Christ, and it changed my life. And it made a difference. I want to challenge you. You're created by God. How do you see yourself today? You're sitting there, and you're standing there. Right? Kadesh Barnea. The promised land. God has a promised land for you. It's there. It's in front of you. See, I believe the best years of my life are still ahead of me. There's fewer probably now. I don't think I'm going to live to be 120. You know, but the best years of my life are still ahead of me. It's there. Are you a grasshopper? Are you a child of God? It's your choice. 6 months. Promised land. 6 months. But they chose to wander. I'm going to tell you, quit wandering. I wrote it this way at the bottom of your page. Realize that you are deeply loved, completely forgiven, fully praising, fully pleasing, totally accepted, and complete in Christ because of what he has done on your behalf. Nail that down. You're somebody special. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you are a merciful and gracious God. That you formed us and you created us and you love us and you gifted and planned and Jesus died. That we can have love, joy, and peace. Thank you, loving Heavenly Father. Who's here for us today. You know, as we're bowing and as our heads are eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, maybe you're wrestling with some things of the past. Maybe some struggles. Maybe you've been programmed and you feel, well, I'm just ugly and I can't do and I... Maybe you have a poor self-esteem and you want to see yourself as God sees. Will you just shoot your hand up? Let me pray for you. Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of those that want to look in the mirror and see the gifted God that formed them. Lord, let them feel your presence. Let them feel the affirmation of your love. Let them see the giftedness. Let them hear the words of encouragement that they are your children, that they can stand and walk and serve and be a people of because of what you have done. Not because of anything we have done or they have done, but because you are a gracious and merciful God. Strengthen them, Lord. Move it beyond knowing to where they feel it. The presence of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, he's given an invitation into our service. Invitation is real simple. Invitation is an opportunity for you to respond. And I want to make sure, like I said, I was 17 and I crossed that line. Maybe you never crossed that line. I call it an invisible line. You know, you've always believed in God. When I was 7, I always believed in God. I always knew there was a God. I always knew the Bible was God's word. Never questioned any of that. But it wasn't until I was 17 that it was like, okay, God, I need to make a decision. Am I going to do it your way or mine? And I chose to start doing it God's way. If you've never made that decision, this is an opportunity. Just simple prayer. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. Maybe there's some other things going on in your life. Maybe there's some physical challenge. You want some prayer. Maybe some emotional. We've been talking mental health. Maybe there's some prayer. Maybe you want to pray for some lost people in your family or something else. This is your time for God to speak to your heart. But this is your time. I'm just here to serve, and I'm here to be a part of your journey in God's life and God's work in your heart. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing. And you come as the Spirit leads, and we'll give God the credit this morning.